It's time for Explore Fairbanks on KFAR Radio, talking everything tourism and exploring all that the Golden Heart City has to offer for visitors and residents alike. Brought to you by Explore Fairbanks, located in the Morris Thompson Cultural and Visitor Center in downtown Fairbanks. And now, here's the crew from Explore Fairbanks.
Well, it's not really much of a crew. It's just me, but that's fine. I'll take that introduction. Oh, welcome to it, everybody. I'm your host for today for Explore Fairbanks, Jerry Evans, and I'm going to be wearing my hat as Public Relations Manager at Explore Fairbanks today. Joining me in the studio is the founder of Borealis Space Camp, Adriel Butler. Hey, Adriel.
How you doing, Jerry?
I'm doing great. So let's start here. Opening in 2017, I've heard Borealis Space Camp described as a resort 25 miles outside of Fairbanks, Alaska, that is the first in North America devoted to providing a private, luxurious view of the Northern Lights. Now, I've heard them described as igloos. I've heard them described as domes. So how would you, Adriel, explain to the listener exactly what Borealis Space Camp is?
Sure. So, we are North America's currently only glass-roofed igloos, which are specifically designed for watching the aurora borealis from warm inside 70 degrees while it's negative 20 outside. I would describe Base Camp, Borealis Base Camp, as a boutique adventure resort. We've got food and beverage, we've got accommodations, and we've got activities. We're a fairly small property of 30 units, and we aim to have a great time.
All right. Now, obviously, you could have built these and put Borealis Base Camp anywhere in Alaska, and it's a pretty big place, but you chose just outside of Fairbanks. Why would you do that?
Well, Fairbanks, number one, is the Golden Heart City, and so we love Fairbanks because of the people. Number two is it's got 737 access to the lower 48, and it's inside the Aurora Oval, and so it's a great place to view the Aurora. So the primary reason would be the Aurora and the city, Fairbanks.
Great. And, you know, those are excellent reasons to explore Fairbanks. That is one of the reasons why people enjoy coming to Fairbanks. And we hear that more about Fairbanks than we do some of the other bigger
locations.
Cities down south. It really is people-oriented.
Yeah.
And I've made the argument, and I go around the United States and I tell people how great Fairbanks is and why.
It's fabulous.
I explain to them why it's the best place on the planet to see the Northern Lights. And I can back that up with science, of
yep.
course. You know the science is that we're so far, most of the popular aurora viewing places around the world, like Tromso, Norway,
yep.
They're all coastal communities. So in the month of March, as example, Tromso has up to 3 inches of precipitation. In the month of March in Fairbanks, we have 0.3 inches of precipitation. So you need
much better.
You need activity, you need clear skies. And
that's right.
Of course, Fairbanks provides both of those things. All right, well, so let's talk a little bit about the igloos, and that's how we refer to them now.
Yep.
Thank you for telling
yep.
me that. We refer to them as igloos. So obviously, you can't just go log on to alaskaigloos.com and have these things sent to you. There's a lot of planning that goes into it. Well, first of all, there is no such website. And secondly, not that many people in the world can design something like this to withstand the Fairbanks climate. So how did you come up with the idea and using domes as opposed to
any other
just
structure.
Individual units or another structure?
Yeah, I mean, really, I knew what was going on in Finland and Iceland and Norway with aurora viewing, you know, glass igloos, all of those things. The beautiful thing Norway's got is that energy is really cheap, so electricity is really cheap. Whereas in Alaska, we pay a lot for our electricity. So the igloos are an Alaskan answer to getting a place to view the aurora. We use Toyos. Well, we have used Toyos. We are transitioning to central boilers. But, we used Toyos, on-demand hot water heaters. The design of it's custom. We did it ourselves. The windows are our invention, the white shelter we buy off the shelf, and we assemble it, and then we do all the renovations to it. It's an answer to the demands of Fairbanks interior Alaska weather, and taking into account the fact of energy prices and how we heat stuff in Alaska.
Right, and that's an important thing that we haven't, we might not have pointed out yet, is that these units are not just a place to sleep.
That's
where
right.
There's a place where you go, there might be an outhouse or a restroom or a kitchen or a place to store your stuff.
Yep.
These are self-contained units, so basically it is like a hotel room.
That's exactly what it is. And I mean, exciting this year, we've been doing some upgrades and we've moved to central heat, central toilets, a community system. So every single room has flushing toilet, shower, vanity, the whole works. It's a 230 square foot hotel room.
Wow. So I was reading a little bit about your history, because again, you don't just throw something like Borealis Base Camp together. A lot of planning obviously goes into it. How you're going to build, where you're going to build, who you're going to cater to, how you're going to market to those people. And it seems like your entire life is pretty much everything you've done has kind of brought you to this point, and all your studies and where you've lived and all has kind of helped lay the groundwork for Borealis Base Camp working.
Yeah. I mean, I lived in China for 5 years, learned the Chinese language while I was there. My major is manufacturing and supply chain management, which is a combination of engineering, business, and logistics. We definitely deal with logistics. We definitely deal with engineering. We definitely deal with business. So kind of the history in China of working with Chinese people and then the background and the education makes it a good fit for what has happened. And I would say that we started small, right? We started with 6 units and not really any food program. So it definitely was began as a experiment, but definitely has become much more than an experiment.
Right. Well, like a lot of businesses, you know, when Borealis Base Camp started, it, like you say, you started smaller than what you wanted to become. You had a vision for what you wanted to be, but you can't do all that right out of the gate.
Definitely not.
So how many units, igloos did you start with?
Yeah, we started with 6 igloos and 1 30-foot yurt. So in 2017, when we opened on Thanksgiving weekend, we had 6 units. 6 igloos, sorry.
And how far? Oh, good. I'm glad I'm not the... You know what? If the owner does that, I don't feel so bad doing it myself. I probably led you into that one, though. So so how many igloos are you up to now?
Yeah, so I mean, we're at 20 igloos now, and then we have 10 cubes. Cubes are different than the igloos. They don't have the wraparound roof on them, but they have a massive 10-foot by 10-foot window that the bed is right in front of. It's more of a conventional build. The structure is more natural to folks, and it's very thermally efficient.
Right. So now when you said that you had worked in China, went to school in China, and learned the language, if I understand this correctly, when Borealis Base Camp first opened, that's kind of, you were kind of catering to them.
Yep.
Because,
absolutely.
You know, obviously you weren't strictly catering to the Fairbanks audience because although we appreciate what's out there, and we'll talk about some of the cool things locals can go out and do, we see the Aurora.
That's right.
Why the people from China want to come over. So so that was your main focus, correct, at the beginning?
Yes. When we began, it was, we were heavily focused on whether it be American-born Chinese from the lower 48 or Chinese from mainland China or from Taiwan, we were heavily focused on the Asian market.
Well, as a lot of people might remember, back in 2020, this thing came around called, I think they called it a pandemic. So obviously, you weren't catering to markets outside of the U.S., so you obviously had to change your marketing plan. Because that, you know, everybody was shuffling at that time.
That's right.
To try to get an audience or to get customers, and you guys actually did quite well that year, correct?
Yeah, I mean the beauty of it is, I mean the blessing or the serendipity of it is, you know, the international market shut down, right? So we went from direct flights and all of that stuff into Asia to pretty much nothing for all the way till now. But at the same time, people who would be going from the lower 48 to Finland or to Norway or to Iceland or to Europe for their winter vacations were not going there. And so we were able to kind of pivot all of our marketing efforts to direct marketing efforts down into the lower 48. And so now our client base is very, very well-rounded, and we probably 80-plus percent are lower 48 and lower 48 Americans, and then we have a very small portion that still remains from the American-born Chinese. But we don't have much in the way of mainland China anymore, and that just has to do with airlift and geopolitics.
Sure. Yeah, of course. But the kiss and the curse of this whole thing is you guys are doing very well. We'll talk about you guys are 75% at capacity this upcoming winter already. So once they start coming in from China and Japan and other countries, you're going to have quite a lot of demand for your 20 igloos, is it, at this point?
Yeah. I mean, our goal, we often get asked, are you going to put more units in? We do sell out fairly early for a hotel. But our goal is not to become some massive behemoth. We're driven by demand, and we're willing to respond to it. But we want our staff to be able to interact with the guests on a person-to-person level and to be a part of the Golden Heart City from the manner in which we interact with guests. So we don't want to become this 500-bed massive behemoth. That's just no fun. And it's not good. It's not good for the guests. So yeah, we'll grow, but not in massive steps.
Got it. So of course, for those of you who might just be tuning in, you're listening to Explore Fairbanks. I'm your host, Jerry Evans, and we have in the studio with us the founder of Borealis Base Camp, Adriel Butler. And we've been talking a little bit about the domes, about who you've been catering to as far as visitors. But of course, this is Explore Fairbanks, and this is listened to by the KFAR listeners.
Right.
And many of them might, because they're not reading the kind of literature for going out and doing this stuff, and we see the aurora all the time.
All the time.
But there are other reasons why folks may want to visit Borealis Base Camp locally if they know nothing about it.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, we are a full-service operation, so that means we have Latitude 65, which is a upscale casual dining establishment, and then we have activities, and then, you know, we always offer local discounts, military discounts, for anyone who's from Alaska or anyone who's in the military. And we would love to have anyone from Fairbanks or the surrounding area come out for dinner, have a date night out at our place. We have a great wine list, beer, wine, cocktails. Come out and enjoy the food. Come out and check us out.
Right. And that's one of the things that I have not eaten out there yet. But part of my job with Explore Fairbanks is I host travel writers and travel journalists and photographers. And, of course, in the wintertime, they all want to go to Borealis Base Camp and spend some time out there.
Yeah.
And we always try to get them there. And people have been raving about the food out there. I mean, there's a lot of great choices in town here, a lot of them unique and quirky, which is great.
Yep,
but there's
absolutely
not a lot of what you might call finer dining places, and you kind of put Latitude 65 in that category.
Yeah, I mean, our goal with Latitude 65, I mean, Chef George Easter, he's been with us since 2018, and he came from working at lodges out in Bristol Bay. He lives here in Fairbanks. He's with us year-round. Our goal with the restaurant is to be in the top food and beverage from a quality and a flavor profile in Alaska. So when we measure it, we're looking Anchorage, Fairbanks. We want to be in the top tier for that. Obviously, as we add and grow in the future, we may add some other dining options. But right now, it's a fairly upscale place.
Unlike some other hosts, radio hosts, I won't ask you how you came up with the name Latitude 65. I'm sure all of our KFR listeners
yep.
have figured it out by now as well. So I won't chase that rabbit hole. So, of course, we've got the restaurant out there, but you've started to, again, like you say, starting to add more igloos in the restaurant as things progress, but you've also added a number of different activities as well.
Yeah, I mean, when we have guests who stay the night or two nights or three nights, right, of course the aurora does not always show up. You know, the clouds might be there, whatever, and we want to make sure that guests have a great time whether or not the aurora shows up. So yeah, I mean, we do snowcats, sunset snow coach tours, where it's basically a booze cruise, for lack of a better term, right? To go watch the the sunset, you know, look at Denali out in the background, have champagne, get to know people. We do walking with reindeer tours. We have a small herd of reindeer. We do extended snow machines out into the White Mountains. They're like 6 hour long. And they're fabulous. Then we do dog sledding, of course. We work with a local musher who manages it all for us, and he's a fabulous fellow. So yeah, those are some of them. We also do fat tire bikes, hawk skis, cross country skiing, ice rink, a little bit of ice carving, just as fun for the guests to do. So just a menagerie of items.
Excellent. And, you know, I should have thought about this much earlier, because the KFAR listener, many have lived here. I'm born and raised here myself. Most have tooled around the area for a long time. So I'm sure a lot of them are going in their minds, okay, you said 25 miles outside of town.
Where
the heck is it? Okay, so we talked a little bit about the White Mountains, but can you explain how you would get to Morales Base Camp?
Yep. So we're out the Elliott Highway, head out of town, going north, just like you're going all the way up to Prudhoe if you go that direction. You go past Haystack, and then the next ridge beyond Haystack is Himalaya Road. You take a left on Himalaya Road, go out to the Y, take a right at the Y, and you'll see a bunch of white igloos out in front of you as you come around the bend. And that's us. So it's, mile 18 on the Elliott, and then about 2.5-3 miles on gravel road to get to our place.
Great. And, you know, there might be some people that say, well, that's not that conveniently located. But if you're an Aurora viewing property,
it's fabulous.
You don't want to be centrally located, because then you have all the light noise from the big city lights we have here.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, very specific why we picked that location. Out in front of us, there is only tribal lands, federal lands, state lands, and the White Mountains rec area. So the probability of development going past us is very low. And that, I mean, it's amazing. I mean, you can just look out and just see for miles from our ridgetop location.
Right. Now, Boyle's Base Camp, you don't necessarily call it an Aurora viewing property, but that's what a lot of people think of, or they book it with the hopes to see. And as we talked about it a little earlier off the air, if Borealis Base Camp was on the side of the Grand Canyon, you could say, hey, come on in, you'll see the Grand Canyon. It's a little trickier when you're talking about the Aurora, and some people are here for the trip of a lifetime.
Yep, it's a bucket list.
It's a bucket list thing, and they're here. So you probably have to be very careful on the way you promote it. And I'm guessing, I know from bringing around journalists who are here to write on the Aurora, boy, if they see it the first night, you're off the hook.
Oh, yeah.
It's all gravy from there. But you start to sweat it
when
it starts to get real cloudy.
I mean, you can do everything right as a hotel or as a activity operator. And if the guests don't see the Aurora, it's still a zero to a negative experience. I mean, it's still a vacation, all of that. But you can do everything wrong, as a hotel or as an activity provider. But if they see the Aurora, it's an amazing trip. So we do work really hard at setting expectations, which is to say that, you know, there is a probability if you are in Fairbanks for more than three nights looking for the Aurora, you have a high probability of seeing it. However, we do not control the weather. Right. So it is a natural phenomena.
And that's one of the things that I tell people why the Aurora is so great, because it's not a guaranteed thing.
Yep.
And so when people see it, it really
it's
seems
amazing.
Special to them.
Yeah.
Right. And you guys do you offer some kind of wake up call? The funny thing is somebody asked me if they offered wake up call Borealis Base Camp. And I said, well, the odds are you're going to hear people screaming.
That's right.
Because they have.
Yep.
Out there, when they see the Aurora, it is.
Everybody goes nuts.
Everybody goes nuts, right? And there has been screaming, right?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
We have a staff member who their sole job during the evening is to watch for the Aurora. And then we have alarm systems in the rooms so that we can wake people up. And then, you know, we have a photographer on site as well who does portrait sessions so that people, if they didn't bring a camera or are having trouble with the low light photography, we can help them with that as well. If we don't notify somebody and the Aurora's out, we'll hear about it the next morning.
Right. So being born and raised here in Fairbanks, and certainly you too, and the KFR listeners, as much time as we spend here, we see the aurora. And one of the unique things about the Borealis Base Camp is you're looking up at it and you feel like you're by yourself. But I explain to people, the aurora is kind of such a personal experience because you literally can be in a group. You can be with a group of 20 people, but everybody's looking straight up in the sky.
That's
so the only thing that's in your sight line, in your peripheral and everything
is just the aurora.
So no matter where you are, what kind of group you're in, it's a very personal experience. And I'm guessing you've seen the gamut from people going, oh, so that's what it looks like, to just people have cried.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, some guests are just like, well, okay. And they go back inside and go to bed. And, I mean, they check their box. I mean,
right.
And it's very, I mean, from a host standpoint, you really want them to enjoy it. And it doesn't seem like they're enjoying it. So, I mean, that's one end of the spectrum. And then you've got other people that, you know, basically it turns into a full-on dance party. They're screaming. They're crying. It's a euphoric experience for them. I mean, the other thing that's super fun is we get a fair number of proposals during the winters. And it's super, super cool when you can get proposal under the aurora on the deck. It's fun.
Yeah. Boy, that's a story for a long time, isn't it?
Yes.
All right. We're here with Explore Fairbanks on KFAR Radio. I'm Jerry Evans with Adriel Butler. We're going to take a quick commercial break and we'll come back. We've talked a lot about the visitors coming up here, but it'd be nice to talk about, and we will, about what those visitors mean to the Fairbanks market and the local people that they interact with. So we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with more of Explore Fairbanks here on KFAR, the heartbeat of Alaska.
We will continue to explore Fairbanks right after this short message from our sponsors.
Located just 25 miles from town, Borealis Base Camp offers an experience unlike any other for locals and visitors alike. Witness the awe-inspiring northern lights from the comfort of your own private glass-roofed igloo. Embrace the winter wonderland with exciting outdoor adventures from dog sled rides to snow machining, ice fishing, and more. Indulge yourself in the finest dining experience Interior Alaska has to offer in Latitude 65 Restaurant, showcasing Alaska seafood and locally sourced fresh ingredients. They offer local discounts for the entire season. For more information, visit BorealisBaseCamp.net. Borealis Base Camp, proud to be a member of the Golden Heart City.
How do you get the smoking best deal in town on just about anything? On 50-50 Fridays. Duh, that's how. 50-50 Fridays partners together with your favorite local merchants to bring you great new deals of half-off savings. Simply go to this station's website and click on the 50-50 Fridays button at the top of the page to see what new deal is being offered each week. Get ready to score your half-off deals on such items as dining out, entertainment, services, activities, events, and even more. Shop 50-50 Fridays. You'll spend less. You'll have more. And even if it isn't Friday, be sure to check back with the 50-50 Fridays page regularly, where you can discover unclaimed half-off deals that may still be available. Every 50-50 Fridays week, you'll hear about the upcoming offer daily on 8 of the most listened to radio stations in the interior. Can your business benefit from a week of saturated, enthusiastic promotion on 8 radio stations? The answer is yeah, sure. Why wouldn't it? Talk to us. 50-50 Fridays, brought to you by the radio station, your local family of radio stations.
Spend your Saturdays with KFAR Radio for local programs, starting with Alaska Realty Today from Next Home Arctic Sun Realty at 11 a.m. The Buzz at 11:30. Brought to you by the Tanana Herb Company. Followed by Health Talk with Dr. Scott Looper from White Spruce Medical at noon. And then it's the Compos Outdoor Show at 12:30. Fairbanks Foodies at 1 p.m. And Explore Fairbanks at 1:30. All 3 hours of local shows can be found on the KFAR website in the archives section. Weekends just got local with KFAR Radio. Now back to Explore Fairbanks on KFAR Radio.
And we're back with Explore Fairbanks. I'm Jerry Evans, your host, and joining me is the founder of Borealis Base Camp, Adriel Butler. Welcome back, Adriel.
Thank you very much, Jerry.
Great. Now, we're talking about the visitors that come out to Borealis Base Camp, and it's such a small, like you said, almost boutique property. When people think of visitors and tourists, they think large buses going somewhere, dumping off a lot of people, that kind of stuff. But you guys obviously cater to the independent travel.
Different audience, yes. I mean, most of our guests, like 85-90+% of our guests, are all what would be called independent travelers. They come on their own. They're not on a coach bus. They're not in a big group. The beauty of it is that the independent traveler explores Fairbanks much more on their own, and they tend to stay a little bit longer. Our average guest stay is only about 2.5 days, so that means either 2 nights or 3 nights, depending on who the person is. And there are very few people who come to Fairbanks for just 2 nights or 3 nights. Most of the time, somebody's going to be coming up here for 4-ish to 5-ish days, right? Because they want to see the Aurora. It's a bucket list trip. They're not probably coming back. And so the beautiful part about it is they may stay with us for 2 nights or 3 nights, but then they're exploring the rest of Fairbanks, right? They might be heading down to Denali. They might be going up to the Arctic Circle or to Coldfoot, might be heading out to Chena, a multitude of different things, are going down to Anchorage and flying out down there. So the nice part about it is our guests are also, in Fairbanks, eating at the restaurants, working with other activity providers, doing other things, renting cars, exploring more of interior Alaska.
Right, exploring Fairbanks. Oh, look at that. And it's funny because when Borealis Base Camp first started, it would be easier to tell who the Borealis Base Camp customer might be,
right,
if you were elbow to elbow at Hoodoo at 4:30 on a Friday.
Yep.
Now not so much with independent travelers. No, not at all.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what, Adriel, we still have a little time left. So is there anything else that you would like to talk
sure.
about or mention?
Yeah, I mean, our biggest thing is just to say thank you to the Fairbanks community and the surrounding area. It's been great to start a business here, to grow the business. We do want to do everything we can to be good neighbors and very thankful to Fairbanks. The restaurant opens on 8/21, so in about 3 weeks, we're open and operating for the fall season. So if you want to come out for dinner, we'll be open 7 nights of the week, starting 8/21. And we do our best to source as much local produce, especially in the fall, as possible, from as simple as just going to the farmer's market and buying things direct from there.
Excellent. So, again, the local people see the Aurora a lot in the wintertime. And, of course, there is a uniqueness to staying in Borealis Base Camp, but you may get some bookings from people that are local who are having visiting relatives
yes.
come up and all that kind of stuff. So you guys always Borealis Base Camp usually is not the kind of place where you can call out that evening and say, hey, you got anything? Because you guys are
fairly tight.
Yeah, like for the Aurora season, which, of course, we designate Explore Fairbanks from August 21st through April 21st, and that's because, that's when it gets dark enough to be able to see it.
Yep.
It might be out tonight, just not dark enough to see it. Dark enough to see it. So how filled are you for this upcoming season of 24?
I know, 23-24. Okay. It's crazy. For February and March next year, we're pretty tight. For September, we're pretty tight. But the rest of the months, we still have some good availability. The other thing we don't really publicize is one-night stays, so like just coming out, check out the place. We make those available 30 days prior. So if you have a relative who wants to come out or you want to come out or do a date or whatever, just call our reservations line. It's listed on our website, and just ask if we've got any one-night stays. And if we do, they generally are at a pretty good rate. So come on out and join us.
Excellent. And, of course, that website is borealisbasecamp.net.
N-E-T. Right? That's right.
All right. Visualize a net.
That's right.
That's how you do it. Borealisbasecamp.net. Well, Adriel Butler, I can't thank you enough for joining us
today.
Thank
you, Jerry.
It's always a pleasure. Well, thanks a lot, listeners. You've been listening to Explore Fairbanks here on KFAR Radio. For more information, you can log on to explorefairbanks.com. And, of course, borealisbasecamp.net. To listen to this or any past shows, simply log on to KFAR Archives at kfarradio.com. This has been a presentation of Last Frontier Media Active.
You have been listening to Explore Fairbanks on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM and 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com. To listen back to this program or any past shows, simply log on to our website and click on the archives page. Explore Fairbanks has been a production of Last Frontier Media Active.